Welcome to the Call of the Soul podcast with Dr. Ray Falconberry.
Anyway, today I bring you back my buddy, the mighty Jeffrey Cornett. Jeff, as some of you know, has been battling prostate cancer and has been going through an amazing adventure, an amazing unfolding story. And I wanted to bring us up to speed with what's going on with Jeff and some new things that are happening for him. So first off, let me welcome you, Jeff. Jeff, it's great seeing you and talking with you again. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me, Ray. It's good to be here.
Yeah, no, it is good to touch base. And while our audience doesn't get to see you, I get to see you because we do this on Zoom, so I get to see your handsome self.
Oh.
And get to see you in live, kind of semi across the world from Chicago to California. So it's
there you good. Go. Where it's snowing, by the way, this morning.
Oh, is it really? How awesome. Yeah. We're going to be 75.
No.
So there's an old saying, tough. That's what you get for being in Chicago, brother. But Chicago's a famous and fancy town. So you get to be in, you know, this incredible, warm, blustery snow.
Oh, yeah.
Cultural center of the universe, Chicago. And I'm in this little, you know, suburb of Northern California, little cow town. So
no. Yeah. Okay. All right. The point is made.
Like my weather, so enjoy your cold, brother.
Well, I bet you can't vote three times like you can in Chicago.
Oh, so I'm just curious. Is it like 5 degrees?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You know.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, bring us up to speed, Jeff. What's in the last month or so, or even a couple of months since we've chatted, what's been going on as far as, let's start with your physical health. I know there's some other things that you're doing and some interesting project stuff, but what's happening physically with you as you battle this?
Well, it definitely gets your energy level and strength. Last time I was at Mayo was in December. And, you know, we've been going through some other issues here in Chicago. And so I kind of lost a little bit. Actually, I lost a lot of time and stuff because I started, you know, going down that path of, oh, God, you know, this is not, it's not a good time. Da, 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 da. And I was supposed to go back at the February 17th. To go back for testing and that kind of stuff. And then what happened was I just made a decision that it's time to get things together and under control. And I started, you know, working more in my mental state of mind and everything. And then I started revisiting this book I'd started. You know, I have a way sometimes of expressing myself that's different, unique. And, you know, while I was going through radiation, I go, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I made up a t-shirt that said FC. And then it said, because there is no plan B. And of course, I was kind of using it in more of an explicit way, but I wore it to treatment. Because in the waiting room where everybody is, and you know, there's nobody really says much, blah 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 blah, and the staff da 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 da. So I walked in and wore that t-shirt, and you would have thought that Barnum and Bailey had walked into that room, and it just made me realize that my expression, and that was, you know, it's kind of my anger over what I'm going through, had different meanings for different people. They'd look at it, they'd get the anger that I was saying, but they go,
let's stop for a second, because when you say, and I know I heard you talk about this or read about this, the FC, for a lot of people, they don't know, because your logo on this thing is the exact same logo that is my church. So
that's cool.
Fellowship Church, which I thought, how did he know that? But, and I'm thinking, no, it's not that. My first thought was fight cancer.
Yep.
But my first real reaction was, the anger was,
forgive my language, fuck cancer. I don't want to fucking deal with this. So
right.
again, forgive my language for you.
Well, it's because there's no plan B, right?
You either kick its ass and you win this, yeah. or it's gonna take you out. So I love that. I love that attitude of taking that. So again, go back. So when you came into the waiting room and people thought Barnum and Bailey, what do you mean? Was there a conversation about it?
Well, it immediately started to get people to look at each other. And, you know, one of the big points of what I've been trying to do here with this whole FC in the book and the whole thing is to get people talking about this issue in advance to get, you know, because there's a lot of myths out there. And so, you know, it was, you know, really kind of interesting in that all the staff got the initial jolt of what it was, and they look up at you like, it's about time somebody said that, right?
And you know, that's the thing that I really want part of your story and part of this story to get out there in the form of, you know, a lot of times we don't look at people's illnesses. We don't look at disease. We don't look at cancer. We don't look at prostate cancer. We don't look at it like us. It's not us. It's not us. So therefore it's somebody else. And so we kind of tend to not just dismiss it, but we put it at arm's distance. And what I want people to really get is there's an excellent chance it's coming for you. So it's not something I want you to dread. I want you to be aware right. that there is mindsets, there's options, there's people, there's committees, there's books, there's all kinds of groups that can attack this. And even before you end up with a prostate cancer, come on, Jeff. I mean, by the time we're 35, 40 years old, our prostate is doing things that's causing us to change our lifestyle. Meaning, you know, I ask my son all the time, I said, are you still sleeping through the night? He says, yeah. He's okay, he's 31. And I tell him, enjoy it, because there's a good chance at some point your prostate's going to grow. It will grow. And you're going to be getting up. You're going to notice a weaker stream. You're going to notice that you're going to have to go to the bathroom.
Yep.
And if you're fortunate, you might be lucky enough to not end up with prostate issues, but it's not something to run from. I love the idea of, you know, part of the way we beat it is we don't run from it. We start right. telling stories. And so right. your story is now evolving. So talk about how the story of not just your case, but the story of what you want to do with your experience, but how does this bridge out into affect other people?
Well, you know, I have a unique experience. Of course, you know me, I've got some. Anyway, when I first got out of the music business and I started to apply the other degree of marketing and journalism, I became the chief marketing officer for a small medical practice that had two locations, one in Kansas City, one in Dallas. And it was called the Diagnostic Centers for Men. And it primarily was for men's sexual health. And, you know, the whole thing there is all about what's underlying diseases. So we were one of the first to go out and get people to talk about male impotence and issues and do it in a way that was right in their face. I mean, we used to run ads that said in the sports page that said, real men aren't impotent, playing on the Marlboro guy, right? Now, what happened was it went from two locations in two cities to 35 locations across the country. And then when the managing group went public, but what happened was we began to treat hundreds of thousands of men who hadn't seen a doctor in a very, very long time, number one, and they were having these issues. And I don't know the exact split of what they discovered, but when they would come in, because you have to have a diagnosis in order to be able to, you know, you got to have some tests. And so what happened was they found a significant number of prostate cancers in different forms, right? Unfortunately, mine was discovered when it was stage 4, because you know.
What do you mean? What do you mean by different forms? You mean different stages or different
Different stages and, you know, all kinds of other things. There were, you know, people that discovered they had a cancer because of the pituitary glands. There are all kinds of things. The point was, it was a subject no one wanted to talk about.
There it is. That's what I wanted us to get to. That's what I want us to get to, because not just, you and I have talked about this. I don't know if we've talked about it on the show before, but we've talked about this. One of the things that is overwhelming in its complexity and how far it stretches out and actual comedy, and I mean comedy as in humor, is we don't talk about anything related toward men's sexual health, sexuality, and then taking it from the romantic, biological, loving side to the side of cancer and death and pain and all that stuff. So we have a spectrum of talking about men's health, even just revolving around sexuality, again, the organs that go with it and how that's affected. And to me, this is something that it needs to be talked about in the worst way and in the best way. And what I mean by that is, let's talk about the reality of what this looks like from all aspects, meaning if we're talking about prostate cancer, what is involved with that? What does it feel like? What is that radiation like? What is the side effects? What are the symptoms? That's one side. But can we not just look at just men's health and the pathological side from that side, but let's look at it from the other side too, of, well, what is a healthy man look like? What is a healthy prostate? What is a healthy sexuality? Not just in our biological markers, but our experience, our communication, our enjoyment of sexuality. That whole area, that whole field of sexuality in men is so closeted, I guess, for a better way. And so Jeffrey, this has got to get out there. So
what's interesting here, so here we are. That was in the 90s. Okay. And just to show you, you know, we got stories in the Wall Street Journal and stuff, because it was basically what happened was reporters, I just started working with them, and they would say, wow, here's the story no one wants to talk about, number one. And number two, with that as well, there were so many myths and things that went along. But I can tell you that the number of men, I mean, it was significant. And the Diagnostic Centers for Men became a testing ground for Viagra and all these other things, because basically the diagnostics, what they were doing is they were injecting a thing called Caverjack, and it would, you know, just move forward. But that's just at the center of this. So here I am, you know, I had 4 or 5 years with him. I did a whole lot of national work with him came out of zero, right? From a very small place to all over the country. And it hit me this last summer. I go, I'm probably one of the most unique guys to be telling this story, because I did all that work back then. I'm going through this now, and I see what I'm seeing. And so that's when I decided to do this. And you're absolutely right. So the book that that we're in the process of raising money for and putting together is, it's not medical. It is, but there's a lot of historical things. And one of the things that it talks about is all the impact that happens in a person's life or a family that you don't really even talk about or know about until you're in it, right? And, you know, it's really amazing. And it really wasn't until the late 1800s, early 1900s that they even started doing any kind of testing to figure out any kind of prostate issues. So it's relatively, from a history of medicine, pretty unique and new. But the biggest thing is the myths and men feeling terrible about, you know, they don't want to talk about it. First of all, men don't want to go to the doctors, period. Yeah. It's, you know, and what we learned back in the 90s and is still true, it's usually the spouse or the other person that makes them go.
Yeah.
Unless they're, you know, Mine happened to be by accident, finding out by accident. And you don't really want to rely on that. Right.
Well, you know, God, there's so much we could unpack with that. That whole idea of just being proactive, you know, not being, again, I don't want to sound like a caveman, but, you know, no, we just tough it out. We just keep, you know, yeah, it hurts. Yeah, I've got cramps. Yeah, I'm not eating well. Yeah, I'm losing weight. I mean, all these symptoms, like, you know what, just tough it out. That's a caveman. We're not a caveman anymore. And so part of, I think, the evolving human being is being sensitive to the experience that we're having, and just to say, okay, well, can I be proactive? One, can I live a healthy lifestyle? Can I be mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually healthy? And what does that even look like? So that's a whole nother field that I am hugely passionate about. But on the same token, when something starts to run amok, we need to be sensitive enough to say, you know what, let's just double check. We can go through all kinds of different, you know, rationales for doing it or not doing it, but to be smart enough, to love your life enough, to be sensitive enough to say, you know what, I deserve to be healthy and happy. Something seems off. Let's go check it out. And that's a whole nother thing too. So,
well, the other thing that's really important on top, not just being to check it out, you really need to have, because as you, so what do you call a doctor that graduates the last in his medical class?
Terrible.
Doctor.
Yeah, but so you want to go to that doctor.
No, listen, so what you have to do, particularly in this day and age when you have these opportunities, and hopefully some of the work that we're getting ready to do and we're doing, you have to have some questions. You need to understand a little bit when you go in there and say, well, why is that? Or, you know, you need to start taking some sort of a diary and saying, well, I had this symptom here, da 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 da. You know, here I was, you know, working with national medical chain, da 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 da, before all this, and I wasn't doing any of that stuff, and now I am, you know, I even put it on my iPad or whatever. I carry my medical records with me, because when you go into another doctor after you're going through these types of things, you know, it's, you have to be prepared, and you have to be more educated, because especially now, we not only just as men, but as people need to become more responsible for our entire health and understanding of what's going on. You're very active in that kind of stuff, so, you know, it's not new to you, right? You understand that.
No, I do. And I think, unfortunately, what tends to happen to us is, as we get a little bit older, and I'll just say, as the wear and tear happens, or just as we get older, this is just the natural evolution of the human biology is. And you can look at this from a cellular level. As we get older, our cells begin to slowly die off and not regenerate as quickly. Therefore, our immune system is going to slowly become compromised. We're going to get grayer hair. We're going to start to have little spots on our skin. I get that. But on the same token, you know, to be sensitive to it, one thing, to be proactive is something else. To attack it, I think, is another huge thing. And to me, it's almost like you said a minute ago, we as men don't want to talk about this.
Right. And
I just find that this to be the, we, even though we're focusing in some ways on prostate health and something that is in near and dear to us, the whole idea of men's health to me is such a fascinating thing. And I've
never published it. And I think I've sent it to you, looked at it or something, but I started doing research on a book, and we call it Manopause.
Right.
The idea of man going through, and the technical term is andropause, but what was fascinating in doing that research was to realize, and again, if this is new to people, it's kind of sad. Again, we go through our own men's monthly cycle. It's not like women, so it's not as advertised, and we don't bash men like kind of sometimes women can get bashed for being on their cycle, but we have our own monthly cycle that affects our hormones and our moods and all this kind of stuff. So I just think the whole field of men's health, men's sexuality, men's advocacy for being proactive in their health is just not talked about. And so one of the things we've talked about, I'd love to do this as maybe time goes by, is to literally just lock in on men's health and tell stories, have fun, tell humor, bring humor to it, bring real life stories to it, bring potential success stories, treatment options. What are people doing? How do we help? And do that, because it's just one of these areas that if we don't do it in a way that is engaging, nobody wants to hear about people shriveling up and dying in an agony in bed in a hospital and thinking about, this is my future. Nobody wants that. So, but if we can talk about it in a way that's not only empowering and educational, but fun and engaging, God, I think that just is, I don't know. I just can go on all day about this
stuff. I think that's one of the things that we're going to add into this whole platform that seems to be appearing, because it's very, very important. And that's why I want to get you involved in that podcast and discussing those things. The other thing that's important, since I've done all, you know, experiential types of events, everything from NASCAR to the Fiesta Bowl, that kind of stuff. One of my favorite quotes is from Confucius. And it says, basically tell them and they hear, right? Show them and they see, but involve them and they understand. And that's in part why the t-shirt, the other types of things, to have some tactile type of a thing. But also what you're talking about is having people really engaged in things that are real to the point. There's some humor. There's some all kinds of things like that. That's what's needed, because even the doctors, even at Mayo, they approach it so scientifically, but yet what happens is they're looking at what I put together here and they're saying, that's what people need to hear.
Yeah. And no, and even going back, and I know I'm a little bit of a dinosaur, but I remember taking in some of my doctoral classes that I loved, and this is in the mid-1980s, later 1980s, and classes entitled Body-Mind Psychotherapy, meaning everything about this was bringing the mind and the heart and the spirit into the physical realm too. Don't just treat me with a practice or a drug or an surgical intervention. Bring the mind, bring the heart, bring the humor, bring the laughter, bring the love, bring the spirit into the healing process. And I think this is something that is, like you said, it's not only necessary, but it's overdue. So I'm just curious, I know Mayo is jumping on conceptually to this, but what do you would like to see them do, or what do you foresee happening going forward, if you could build the race car, of this to become a vehicle that does, you mentioned NASCAR, that could perform. So what are you describing that would be, you would foresee? Is it an event? Is it a show? Is it a series? What are you describing? Or maybe it's a series of things that brings this to the forefront in not only men's, but adults, mostly adults. Commonly kids are going to be worried about this as of yet, but by the time we're adults, what do you see this looking like? What shape is this going to take in your mind?
I think there are a number of, I put together a website that talks about, there are three things I've started. First of all, there's a fundraising campaign that started to get, just to grease the wheel a little bit. There'll be a second one. But then but sometime in the next, before the end of this month, it's already in place. We'll have the ability to sell t-shirts and that kind of stuff and move it forward. I got to go to Mayo at the end of March for a couple of weeks. So I plan on having meetings with them in a number of ways to see how they can integrate. They're willing to provide content. They're willing to be interviewed. They're willing to do all, which which is a great source of credibility. And I believe that they have like 1.7 million viewers on their YouTube channel.
That's so huge.
There are significant, this is a kind of a different approach. It's like a, it's like the real men kind. Real men aren't impotent. It's that sort of a thing where it's kind of irreverent, but it's very straightforward and people get it.
Jeff, would Mayo, and I have no idea, and then we've talked about this on the periphery, but why don't you, and I'm thinking about this, why don't you, is it possible that you approach Mayo to sponsor you to bring your talents, your humor, your story, your ability to articulate and sponsor a show that is a consistent model for A, education, B, story, 3, treatment fund, 4, being positive. I mean, just pulling the things that we've kind of talked about that would be a beneficial, entertaining, educational, uplifting, inspiring, healthy show that could highlight, even if they wanted to be specific and tie it to men's health. It could mm-hmm. be men's health. Why, is that something that they would consider?
Well, I think so. So from the years in fairly high level agency work, one of the things that's critically important is a plan, right? You got to put it all together because you can sit and talk all day long about stuff. So, through much frustration, and not just myself, but people around me, I decided to focus on doing that, putting together all the pieces, because it's really hard to go to somebody like that or anybody else and say, help me do this without you having a plan and you actually have it out there. So, in the process, you've seen some of this stuff. You'll see the web, and then the podcast will be laid out from from an audio point of view. That will be laid out in 13 episodes by a quarter, and then we're going to look at shooting some basic videos that are inspirational. There are some places. There's a Christian related website called I'm second.com and just the way that they take these stories and they just really are right there, right? And they talk about it. So my plan here is that between now and the 24th of March is putting together all these pieces, and of course I want you involved in doing some of that stuff, and then being able to show them, because again, it's like the Confucius thing, right? You can tell them all you want, you can show them whatever, but if you involve them, right, then there's the opportunity. And I think there's opportunity potentially for grants, there's support. Just the association alone is pretty powerful.
No, right? I agree. And I know you've talked a little bit about this, and I'm such a fan of, I'm a fan of your story, I'm a fan of your talent, a fan of you as a human being, because our audience knows you from a few episodes and stuff, but I've had the chance to kind of hear and read and listen to your detailed story for a couple of years now. And, I believe everybody has a story, Jeff, but I believe that there are some people who have life experiences that if we tap into it and create vehicles that can help these people, and this is, you're one of these people that if we can find vehicles, your storytelling projects have great far-reaching effect that can help people. And I know that's what you want to do. I mean, we've talked about it for a couple of years now. Yeah. I know you want to do that. So,
well, that's the other thing that why I started writing all this was, I came face to face, I've been through a lot of stuff, and I came face to face, and it's been really tough in Chicago for a number of things. But I basically came to the thing of like my legacy. What in the world have I done, and what can I do with what I've learned to not just help me? And I say that in the fundraising thing, it's not about me. How can I help how you're helping me is not just me. It's me beginning to help others, because that's apparently some of the gifts I have and the ability to connect. And
absolutely.
So that's the thing, right? That again is also, it gives me a reason to think about, well, I'm doing something positive with, in my situation, with my experience and the diagnosis, I've got to do something positive. And, you know, just imagine if we can help turn that sort of energy into others that are facing similar things or potentially will in the future. You know,
well,
that's
what, yeah, what a great, right. I mean, just in and of a concept, it's such a great concept. And I would want people to, you know, hopefully not have to have a life-threatening illness to start thinking about my legacy of wanting something, my life to mean something more to that. So Jeff, as
that's what happens. That's what's going on for some.
Yeah. I mean, it's better late than never, brother. It is. I mean, for somebody to get motivated, light a fire on, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, but if we can get people started proactively without having you, that would be great. So as we get closer to our time, I want to spend a little bit of time. Talk to us about what is physically out there. So there's a site. Is there something that we can begin to support if we wanted to send people to some places to learn either something a little bit more, or how do we help out in either supporting it financially, or do we go and click on things? Is there something we can join?
Sure. It would be helpful. So what we should do is, I think I've given you a link. If you put that on the Call to the Soul website, people can go visit your site and or your Facebook, number one. And then there, by this weekend, there will be a website that's up that's basically, you know, it's because there is no planb.com. Pretty straightforward, right? And you'll see that start beginning to grow out. But the, you know, it tells the story, and it talks about, you know, conversation, why that's important, and how many, you know, men, and this, you know, there's so much content from the book that's already done with the research and stuff. And you cannot, so prostate cancer is only second to breast cancer, right?
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty prevalent. It's getting more so.
And so when you look at it, because, you know, my issue is that it's much to my surprise in having to deal with, is it's aggressive. And so it's, you know, you get that call and they use that and you go, wow, this is, and then you have to deal with the reality. So you can probably go online and see, you know, I think there's a few tweaks and stuff that still have to be done, but basically the format's in there. And there, you know, there'll be a story about how, you know, everything was fine and then it wasn't, right? And then it also talks about the number of the myths that are out there. You know, there were countless people when we first talked about the diagnosis that would say, oh, you're going to be fine. You know, that's my neighbor has had prostate cancer for 25 years. Da, 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 da. Well, what really kind of motivated me, I've lost several friends and known professionals that have been through the same kind of a thing. And then it was too late and it was done. They died. And, you know, that's not good. So it's you have to find that motivation to make you do this sort of thing. So the idea is to be informational, informative, and then also offer some ways for people to help eventually fund and be able to take this message out there. Because I can guarantee you, like, for instance, this water bottle, okay? When you take this water bottle, because the number one thing that you need when you go to radiation is you find out you have to drink water until you figure.
Yes,
that helps float the organs so that they're separated in some ways. So I would never have enough. I would never have bring the water or whatever. So if you had a room full of people that had this logo on water bottles, it pretty well tells you that they're all in it to win it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's simple. Just that simple.
And you know, it's got to start somewhere, Jeff. It really has. So, you know, telling the story, and whether it's through the website, whether it's through FundMe, whether it's through merchandise, I think that's great. And
I know, and you know this, but I since I am such a fan of you and your story and what it is that you can bring to the world, I will always support you in whatever which way we can to do that. So keep looking for ways to share with others, and I know you're doing that and you're building
Yeah.
it. And
Well, hopefully, you know, when this book is when the book is finished, and then we're targeting that the audiobook and the book by the summer. You know, also I think hopefully there'll be some chances to get out to some markets and speak at, you know, churches or other places to share this story, right?
Oh, that sounds wonderful. If people wanted to get in touch with you or
Sure.
to read, is there contact information, or even though I think it may be up this weekend, but is there URLs or anywhere people can go specifically that you could tell them?
Sure, they can see the website is because there is no planb.com, and they can also reach me at jeffrey@jeffreycornett.com, which is straightforward. They can also look at the Facebook, and I think we're gonna end up having to put up a Facebook page for this as well, just as you know, grow that. But that's where I would start.
Yeah, no, I again, I just want this to be something that people are not gun shy from, afraid of. I think one of the ways that we start beating things that may be coming our way is we don't push it off. We don't say, well, that'll happen to me. I'll deal with that when that
Right.
happens to me. And I'm just a big, I know for me personally, I'm just a big fan of, the storytelling process as it involves real life, good people, information. There may be a little bit of up and down, and the down is part of that, but also to pose it in a way that brings hope, brings maybe some levity, some
Yeah.
insight and joy. And I know we've talked about this at length, that's both yours and my version of storytelling. Whether we're
Right.
talking music, we're talking film, TV, whatever, it's really
Absolutely.
revolves around that. So I am looking forward to this movement gaining traction, gaining some following, some support, and I will just continue to hope and pray that your journey is unfolding in a way that not only leads you towards physical healing, but allows you to build this narrative, this platform that can affect so many people in ways that I think that maybe we're only just touching base on as it goes forward and such. Anything else you would want to add, mention, or kind of bring us up to speed? I'd love to have you back in, especially after your visit with Mayo
Yeah,
in
sure.
April.
Let's do that. You know, here's what I can tell you is you have been inspirational to me, and you've helped me understand what the true call of the soul is. And in a large part, that has been a tremendous force in helping me think through how to do this. So, you know, you are in not in a small part are certainly a force. And you know, and more than just a friend in this, because it's your vision as well, and your experience and your ability to understand. So that's great.
Thanks, brother. No, I appreciate it, Jeffrey. And I think if in a lot of ways, one of the things we can look forward to, and I hope it continues, is modeling. And so
Yeah.
part of I think this journey is it's we can look at it from a macrocosm of the world and disease, but we also can look at it as people connecting to people. When we hear somebody else's story and we spend enough time to learn a little bit about them, and we realize that their struggle in many ways is our struggle. And when we then begin to identify that people are like us, that we're not different. And I'll bring this back to, as we end this, back to literally scripture, in that, you know, a lot of times, and I've shared this before, and it's just a reminder starting to ring in my brain, you know, when people ask, and I'm bringing in Jesus in the New Testament, and they ask him, the Pharisees ask him, what are the most important commandments? And without a doubt, you know, without any hesitation, he says, great question. The first and most important commandment is to love God with all your mind, heart, and spirit. Secondly, as important is to love your fellow man as yourself. And what was really interesting about that is you can even take that a step farther. When he was talking to his disciples, he took it one step further and said, love each other as I have loved you. So from a divine standpoint, it's not just loving from my neighbor as myself. Well, what, if I don't love myself very much, then it's hard for me to love my neighbor. But coming from a Christ consciousness who loved us unconditionally. So if we can at least entertain the thought that if we are loved so divinely from God, that is the goal, the mindset to love other people as God has loved us. And that hits me, and I get a sense of loving my neighbor as myself. But when I think about it as God has loved me, so unconditional, so powerful, that takes it to another level. Sure. And so I just hope and pray that we get to practice this through our continued conversation and gifts of humor and your talents in so many different areas, and music and writing and business and such, that we get to do that. And I'm looking forward to that process to bless not only this event of what you're doing in prostate and men's health and cancer, all this stuff, but it just goes exponentially out behind that. So I thank you so very much again for spending time with us, Jeff. And I look
thank forward- you for having me. It's so good to see you.
No, it's always wonderful.